Watching your kids take really great pride in everything that they do and take ownership in their work and care about the other people in their home is one of the most incredible experiences that I have ever witnessed as a wife and as a mom. And I want you to be able to have that too. I want you to know how much power you hold and how much more you can truly give to your children simply by adding systems into your life. Welcome to Systemize Your Life. This is your go-to podcast for work-from-home moms who are desperate to reclaim control, find order, and escape the never-ending cycle of overwhelm. Hi, I'm your host, Chelsea Joe. I've dedicated this show to modern women just like you who are eager to give their very best to their home, family, and work, all without losing themselves in the process. Get ready to discover the systems you need to craft powerful relationships, get organized, keep up on that housework, manage your time like a boss, love those babies well, and maybe even sneak in a date night or two. If you are tired of hopelessly watching life pass you by, then it's time to grab your ticket off that hot mess express and join me in life where systems do all the heavy lifting. This is where you transform your chaos into confidence and take your life from overwhelmed to organized. What do you say, friends? Let's do this. This is the very last episode in the three-part series of Getting Your Kids to Help. And this is meant to be the most practical episode of them all. This is the one where you can take everything that we've talked about and apply it straight to your life. Actually, go put this stuff into practice. Like, how do we actually make our kids get up off the couch and help? Today, I'm going to be dropping four different ways that you can seriously, and I mean truly, get your kids to take action and start helping. Since we've already covered the why, like, you know very clearly now why you need to have your kids help out more and the dangers of what happens when you don't have them help, the only thing left to talk about now is the how. How do we actually get our kids to help out? That is the question. In theory, this all sounds really great, but we got to get up and like make this magic come to life. How do we go from what possibly and honestly is pretty likely very, very, very spoiled or extremely undisciplined children and transition them into contributing family members regardless of their age? So this applies to you no matter what age your kids are. If they're walking, toddler and up. If they can walk and they can ask or they are emoting that they can sign the word more. So literally from anywhere from 10 months and older, like walking and communicating it all the way through. This is applicable. What we're going to talk about today will be for you. You're going to have to adapt it and make it age appropriate, but we're going to go through this whole entire thing. Before we get down into the nitty gritty of that, the first thing that we do need to address is ourselves. We can't and we won't ever again blame our children for their behavior. I'm going to say that again because this is a truth that I hold really tight to in our house, that we can't and we won't blame our children for their behavior. And I know that that is going to not sit right with so many people because it hasn't always sat right in this house either. But I feel so, so convicted that we are the leaders of our children. We're talking about children, right? We're not talking about adults. And I understand that there is an age of accountability. I understand all of that. But even as adults, when we go to work, we follow the lead of our leaders, our bosses, right? We have leadership. We have headship. We have people over us that we follow, that we look up to. We are that for our children. And when we look at their behavior, we have to look at our own. And again, I am doing this series for me as much as I'm doing it for you. 100% This is something we've been looking at very deeply in our life right now. In order to get our kids to be more involved, we have to look at how we are leading them. We control outcomes in our house for better or for worse. If it's a good outcome, we helped it get there. If it's not a great outcome, we helped it get there. So here are three extremely, and I'm talking like this is actually what you're going to go do, and I have vetted this, I have tested this, I have this down to a science with my own life and with hundreds of other families. Here's what you need to do if you're trying to figure out how to be a better leader for your children. Now, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we can look at. But practically speaking, okay, like something super digestible, so simple, through the lens of my life and what I, like my brainchild, this is my zone of genius. We're going to talk about three very specific things, and I want you to write these down, okay? So this is specific to our own leadership and how to get our kids to take action, how to control the outcome. The first one is to have a solid system in place that you fully understand and have practiced. You cannot lead from a place of confusion. You cannot lead from a place of bitterness. You cannot lead from a place of force or being passive. And the only reason that people are passive or they are forceful is because they don't know how to sit in the middle area. They swing to one side of the spectrum or the other. They feel like they cannot combine the two of them. The only way that we can actually come and be a good leader, if you've thought through any really great leader that you've ever experienced in your life, they've gone through and they've experienced things. Now, from my faith to my professional experience, to my athletic experience, no matter what, the people that I have always looked up to, the people that I choose to follow have experienced what I am having to go through, and they can lead me through it. So we have to look at that example when it comes to trying to lead our children. And sometimes even our husbands, whenever we're trying to say, Here's my lane as wife and mom, and the thing that I'm really good at and I've been called to do, and this is what I'm doing. Here's how I believe our schedule should look, and I believe our family should be run, and our routines should look, and how we're going to get things cleaned. Like, here's what this actually looks like. You have to have a solid system in place, and it has to have been practiced, period. Number two, you need to communicate their responsibilities within that system clearly with visuals. Period. End of sentence. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I am going to speak to this for a second because I've been failing miserably at this in my life. Miserably. Like, step number two has not gone well, and it's the visual part specifically. It is, without going into great detail, because we don't really need to go there, but it's been so hard for me lately to get, you know, I'm super systematic and I'm freaking tough. I really am. I've got tenacity. I have dedication. I have discipline. Thank God I have my health in a really great place right now. I have a lot of discipline and determination and dedication. Have a lot of it. And so I can do a lot. Like, mentally, I thrive on being challenged. And so I like that. And I also love being a wife, and I love being a mom, and I love taking care of my house. Like, I love it. But there has come a moment, the moment has come, where it has been taken advantage of a lot. And it's really started to wear on me and break me. And I couldn't for the life of me understand, like, what is going on? My family members, my husband and my kids, are incredible. They love me. They're good people. They want to help. Why is this happening? And I stopped and I was like, nothing is visual. They don't know the system like you do, Chelsea. Like, nothing is visual. And I think it's because we moved and I never re-put it in my house. I haven't gotten our communication board put up yet. The girls don't have their routines written down like they used to. And they've actually been begging me for it. So this has to happen. Once you get your system communicated to them, which I'm going to give you the four things that I really do believe that your kids can do right now, specific routines actually, that they can be involved in here in a second. And these are the things that you should absolutely make visual. The third thing that I want you to think of when it comes to improving your leadership so that your kids can become more involved is to follow through with the expectation every single day without breaking until there is buy-in, until there is improvement. Now, what does this mean? It means once you've set the expectation, you show up to it and you expect them to fulfill that responsibility that you've communicated until they're doing it without grumbling, until they're doing it without being asked. Every day. This might take you 6, 7, 8, 12 weeks. So you better get real serious, because as soon as you slack off, and honestly, it could just take 2 weeks, truthfully. As soon as you slack off, they smell it. They smell it in their sleep. They know when you're weak. They find your cracks and they exploit them. They smell it. They know it. They all know it. And they're like, oh, mom's not going to make us brush our teeth tonight. Oh, mom's not going to ask us to help with dinner tonight. You know what? Of course they're not going to. They're just waiting for you to not uphold the expectation. 100%. They're children. They need leadership. So you have to show up in order for them to show up is the point. Okay. Now look, I know this is so hard. It's been super hard for me. I have seasons of doing this really well. And even there are certain parts of the day, right? So if you think of just within a day, there's seasons within that, right? There are different periods throughout the day where I do this so well, and this is really impacted, honestly, by how much sleep I've had or not had, how well I'm taking care of myself. There's a lot of things that we can do to make it easier for us to show up and to be really intentional in this area. I do want to quickly just run through an example of what this might look like before I give you the four incredible routines that make it unbelievably simple and straightforward for your kids to start getting involved. So let's just look at number one, two, and three here really quick when it comes to our leadership and how we can get our kids to understand how to be involved. So we talked about one, having a solid system that you fully understand and have practiced. So let's just look at the system of meal planning every single weekend. Okay. So you have a system. It works great. You've practiced it. You understand it. Great. Now you're going to communicate the responsibility and the system clearly with visuals while we use the menu meal planning board. Okay. That is what is for dinner every single night. And some people even put their lunches, their breakfast. We do write that down right now on our fridge. We have that all mapped out. Now, what is the responsibility for them and how can you make that visual? That's the huge ticket here. So for me, what's been really key in this is not necessarily them being involved in helping with the planning, but helping in the execution of that system. So having it out and everyone knowing how they can be involved with cooking, because the ingredients, everything that we're doing, what we're cooking on what night, it's all there for them. That's how we've made that part visual. And that's been going really well. That's like a staple, something that is through and through and through, something that I cannot live without. One of the systems that's just part of our DNA here. And then the third thing, and how you can follow through with that expectation without a break in it, is making sure that you are always there at the time that you're supposed to. So somewhere between 4:30, 5:30, around that time. I suggest getting into the kitchen about 4:30 if you've got little kids at home, which I know is hard for a lot of families, but obviously you adapt that to what that needs to look like for you. And you make sure that you're there, right? You're not still you know, doing work, you're not wasting your time on your phone, you're not doing whatever else it might be, right? You've been prepared, you've executed really well throughout the day, and you're showing up to actually cook your meal when you're supposed to. And then you say, hey, and then you go through every kid in the house and your husband too, if he's there, like, remember, I need you to, and then this thing and this thing and this thing, here's how you're involved with dinner. And then you give them this thing and this thing, right? Like, Bailey, it's your turn to set the table. Bailey, I need you to get the napkins. And so we're constantly reminding of what those things are. This likely means that you have a little bit of work to do, that you've got some systems that you need to put in place. You need to understand them. You need to communicate them and you need to follow through with them. Fantastic. I have been having a lot of conversations with Blaine and with my kids about this lately, and it's something that I need to really, truly focus on. For me, that means wrapping up my work blocks when I'm supposed to. It means getting my fundamental needs in and sticking to them and making sure that I'm able to show up hard in those two blocks of my day, in my AM and my PM block, where it's all hands on deck. And the whole purpose of those two blocks of the day is to lead, is to show my kids. And honestly, in those two blocks, when my husband is home, is to show him, hey, this is what it looks like to interact really well with the kids, because he's not always there to do it. He is away from home and away from us and our routines and the kids so much more than me. It's a way to really impact him and to bless his time with his kids too, to give him an opportunity to see, oh, hey, that's how she does this. That's how she's successful at this. And so to be able to really truly pour into that time, we've been having a lot of conversations about that lately. And this is something that me and you are going to go and get to work on. But here's the four places that I think that you should be absolutely having your kids help out, no matter what age they are. And I'm going to blow through exactly what's in my routines right now. Well, basically always has been in these routines. And so I'm going to give you quickly, right? Like, it's just the steps that are there within every single one of these routines. So the first place that you can start having your kids help is the dinner routine. Your dinner routine could and probably should look a lot like prepping your food, cooking your food, setting the table, clearing the table, storing the leftovers, and resetting the kitchen. That is six different opportunities for your kids to be involved. My kids have been setting the table since they could walk and couldn't even see above the table. They were bringing their stool to the table, and I was setting the things that they could carry on the edge of the counter or down low for them, and they would have to go and set the table. That's a great opportunity. Kids all the way up could, I mean, my 11-year-old is cooking. She's like literally cooking in the kitchen with me every night now and helping with dinner. So that's the first routine. So many different examples. Obviously, go test it, have fun with it. Look at your kids' strengths, see what they do well, find what's age appropriate and pour into them. Give them responsibility. And there's going to be balking at first, but it's okay. They will learn to love this, I promise. Number two routine that your kids should be helping with, hands down, is the bedtime routine. Brushing their own teeth, flossing their own teeth. Yes, you need to spot check them. That's fine if they're young. Brushing their hair. We put oils on. We do sound machines. Then we do a book or a nighttime activity, prayers, and lights out. This is what we do for the most part every single night. And for the longest time, I was just up there guiding them, telling them, you need to do it, you need to do it, you need to do it. And now I've put that responsibility back on them. And there's so many different ways that we can talk about, oh, well, you know, what if they don't listen? And I feel like we have to, you know, I talked to one family a long time ago that was like, we always have to resort to spanking. And there's always some type of like threat involved. And I would highly encourage you, if you're in that space with your parenting, to please look at Love and Logic, Positive Parenting. There's a lot of different resources here within this podcast that points you into the direction of the people that I've worked with and that I've learned from. Ralphie Jacobs is one of them. Love her work. This can be a really tough spot for a lot of families. And so if this is hard for you, if you're having a hard time with your kids listening or following through, I would definitely suggest starting with that, because that is going to bleed over into everything. Routine number three is your before school routine. This one's epic, okay? Getting dressed, making the bed, brushing teeth, doing their hair, filling water bottles, eating breakfast, loading their lunch boxes in their lunch bag, snacks in their backpack, shoes on, and in the car. That's 10 things, and it's got to happen pretty quick. And if you're having to do that for all the kids, you're bloody late every day, or you're losing your mind, or you're probably, no shame, no shade, but showing up to drop off your kids in a less than presentable way that you probably would love to actually be able to get up and get ready in the mornings. And if not, that's okay too. But it's so great when your kids can be heavily involved in the morning routine before the before school routine. And my kids are literally doing so much of this now. I'm trying to get them to do all of this independently. And we've got all of it except for the youngest one is not doing her hair on her own. And that's it. They need lots of reminders, but like they're doing all of this on their own now, which is amazing. Okay. Routine number four is the after school routine. So this is the last one. And I love this one. I honestly would say, I don't know which one I would start with. They're all amazing. I definitely would probably start with the dinner routine for a lot of different reasons, but that's a great one to start with because it will just start with the first one that I said. But here's the fourth routine, the after school routine. This is what ours looks like. Wash hands immediately as soon as we come in the door. We all wash hands. Unload the backpacks, put away everything that was in the backpack, and put away the backpack. Wash the lunch boxes and then pack the lunchbox for the next day. But it's actually not the next day. We always, on the weekends, we pack two lunches and then we always have a lunch. So Monday they come home and there's already a lunch in the lunchbox. I mean, a lunch in the refrigerator. And so the lunch that they ate on Monday, they wash it, they pack it. They'll actually end up eating that on Wednesday. And I do this mainly because if something happens and we can't get that lunch packed, I'm not stuck between a rock and a hard place. And we already have a lunch packed and it makes life amazing. And then the last part of that is just homework or free time until the dinner routine. So that's what the after school routine looks like. There really isn't anything more special than the purpose of your family. And that's what this series has meant for me. The purpose we have in our household is to encourage any and all of the marriages that we're able to come in contact with to be able to live in tension and with intensity in the moments that it really matters, so that the rest of the time you can just go have fun as a family. Blaine and I feel very serious about this, and one of the ways that I'm using everything that I know and that I love is to show up here on the podcast and hopefully encourage you and give you the steps to use the systems that I'm using to make that kind of life of being intentional and being really intense, like really concentrated intentional work in that AM and that PM block, right? So that the rest of the time we can just go have some fun. Watching your kids take really great pride in everything that they do and take ownership in their work and care about the other people in their home is one of the most incredible experiences that I have ever witnessed as a wife and as a mom. And I want you to be able to have that too. I want you to know how much power you hold and how much more you can truly give to your children simply by adding systems into your life. That's all it takes. Not only do you deserve a break from having to bear the burden of everything all the time, but your kids deserve the opportunity to learn, grow, and prove to themselves that they are capable. It's every human's desire. Truly every single human on the planet desires to know that they matter, that they have worth, and that they have a purpose. Give your kids the opportunity to see that and feel that in themselves starting today, right now. I can't tell you how much of an honor, a deep, deep honor that it's been to cover this topic of parenting with you through my systematic lenses And I am so humbled by the amount of action taking so many families have been sharing on the internet. If you have loved this series, please take a screenshot, put it in your Instagram, share it with your friends, text it to a friend, put it on your Facebook, put it on whatever you're on over there, your Reels, your TikToks, and tag me in it. I look forward to getting all of this work in place with my own family and really focusing on my kids to become more involved this year right alongside you. Thanks for being here with me through this series, and I look forward to meeting you back here real soon for another episode on the Systemize Your Life podcast. Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a sincere invitation to you, an incredible wife, mom, and woman who has serious dreams of making change, to really take what you learned today and implement even just a small part of it in your life. When you make changes, it inspires everyone around you. If today's episode resonated with you, I'm certain it will resonate with others too. So head over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. Your review will help more women discover our podcast and join our supportive community. But your impact doesn't stop there. You hold the power to motivate and equip the women closest to you in your life with a simple, "Hey girl, let's do this together." Text this episode to your best friend or maybe even your mama. Whoever it is in your life that's knee-deep in the same kind of chaos you're in, they need to know about this system too. And if you're feeling fancy, you can even take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and post it to your stories. Because together, we can create a trail of wisdom for all the incredible women around us, reshaping how we not only care for ourselves, but each other. I can't wait to connect with you on Instagram until we meet back here again real soon for the next episode on the Systemize Your Life podcast.